Welcome to the Pregnancy After Loss podcast. I'm your host, Shannon Henry. This podcast is a place for parents to share their stories of pregnancy after loss in hopes to help themselves and others heal and find a supportive community along the way. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Pregnancy After Loss Podcast. Don't forget to rate and review the show to help reach other listeners like you. Thank you so much for joining me today on my first episode ever of the Pregnancy After Loss podcast. I'm Shannon Henry, and I just wanted to start by saying thank you so much for tuning in today, whether that be because you're a friend of mine who just wants to support me on this new endeavor, or if you are here looking for support in your own pregnancy after loss. I'm just really thankful and appreciative that you came over and decided to take the time to listen. This dream of mine really started after my own miscarriage in May of 2020. I just really wanted a place that was focused specifically on pregnancy after loss. After my own miscarriage, I found an amazing podcast that really helped me heal and grieve. That's the Life After Miscarriage podcast. If you've just had a loss yourself and you're looking for a place to heal, that really is a great place to start. I would recommend it to anybody who's going through a loss of their own. I shared my own story on that podcast, and it helped me heal so much. And listening to other stories of other women who had been through loss helped me tremendously. But when I knew that my husband and I were ready to start trying again, I knew that I wanted a place where I could find that same healing and grow when I was dealing with a pregnancy after a loss. So I started on my search, and I found a ton of podcasts that were focused around miscarriage and infant loss and chemical pregnancies and infertility. And I found a ton of podcasts on pregnancy and birth stories and, you know, all the things that are pregnancy related. But I didn't really find one that meshed those two things together. And I thought to myself, you know, there's got to be something. Something needs to be out there for women who get pregnant again after they go through a loss. Because I'm sure if you're listening, you understand that pregnancy after loss is a total mind game. It's totally different than a pregnancy where you've never experienced that pain and that grief. So I really sat on that idea for a while. I miscarried in May of 2020. Today is April 16th of 2021, so it's almost been an entire year. And I'm just now getting started. But I think some of that has to do with, you know, not necessarily wanting to quote unquote jinx myself. I felt like I didn't want to put any bad karma out there by starting something before I had this baby. But I'm a few days away from being 31 weeks with our little rainbow baby. And I said, you know what, it's time to get started. So a little bit about my own story for this first episode, so that you have an idea of where I'm coming from. My husband and I found out that we were pregnant in April of 2020. So actually a year ago this week. So when I decided to get started with this podcast, it was really kind of a God wink, like, when I realized the week it was that I decided, okay, it's time to get this thing off the ground. But we found out we were pregnant. We were not necessarily trying at the time. but we weren't being careful either. We were definitely part of that little COVID baby boom that you've been hearing about in the news, I'm sure. But we got pregnant and we found out in the middle of April of 2020, and things were going well. We were both excited. Our families were thrilled. And I went in for my first appointment at 6 weeks. I had a vaginal ultrasound. Everything looked great. I think our baby had a heartbeat around 90 beats per minute. My doctor did say that was a little bit lower than normal, but that he wasn't concerned because it was still pretty early. So I left and I was thrilled. The baby was measuring right on track. And just a couple days later, I started experiencing some cramping. I started having some spotting, nothing serious. I called our assessment center. Some people have an area where they call it the triage or labor and delivery. At my local hospital, it's called the assessment center. So I called into the assessment center. They said, you know, don't worry. This is pretty normal at this stage in pregnancy. you know, baby's growing, still in planning, cramping and some bleeding is normal as long as you're not filling, you know, a pad per hour. So I propped my feet up, hung out, and just tried to ease my mind. And the next day, the bleeding was a little bit more intense. So I finally told my husband, like, no, we've got to go to the hospital. We got up there. I waited for a while because for anybody who's ever been through an early miscarriage, you know that there's really nothing you can do about it. There's no sort of measures that they can take to save the baby. So they kind of just treat you as like you're non-emergent because I guess technically unless you're hemorrhaging, you really are non-emergent. So I waited a couple hours and I finally got to the back. A nurse practitioner looked at me and she said, you know, you're not really bleeding heavily. We'll do an ultrasound and check on the baby. And surprisingly, we got to the back, did an ultrasound. We found the baby's heartbeat. We had a little subchorionic hematoma, which they chalked up the bleeding to. But we found the heartbeat. I think it was a little bit over 100 at this point. And they sent us home on pelvic rest and said, you know, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. And at this point, we had already told all of our friends and family. We were just so excited, and I wanted to celebrate this baby and this pregnancy. So I was like dreading, oh my gosh, I think I'm miscarrying. So when I went home, I was really at, my mind was eased knowing that the baby was okay. That was on a Saturday. By Tuesday, I was working from home, and I hadn't slept all night because I was having severe cramps to the point where I was like doubled over at my countertop trying to get my Tylenol. I was in and out of the bathtub all night. And by the next morning, I was bleeding pretty heavily and I was passing some larger clots. And I finally called the doctor that was on call for my OB. They said, you know, let's go ahead and have you come in. It doesn't sound normal. You know, let's have you come in. Mind you, this is at the beginning of the pandemic, the beginning of lockdown. Hospitals and doctor's offices had just started limiting visitation. So I went to this appointment completely alone. My husband sat in the parking lot. He could not come in. And I sat in that waiting room and I just knew what kind of answer I was going to get. It was Cinco de Mayo, so I could hear all the ultrasound techs in the room, in the waiting room, that were talking about going to get drinks after work. And there were other pregnant women that were in their third trimester that were just talking about, I'm so ready for this baby to get out of me. And I'm just sitting here in my mind thinking, I wish you would all shut up. Because I knew that I knew that I knew that my baby was either dead or dying. And sure enough, I got into the back. She did the vaginal ultrasound. And within, I mean, seconds, she told me that there was no heartbeat. So she had to get some more pictures, take some more videos so that she could send it up to the doctor. And they finally did let my husband come inside, because of the news that we got. So he was able to come up to the doctor's office with me, thankfully. We went ahead and scheduled a DNC for the next day, and it was pretty horrible, y'all. Like, the grieving process, the healing process was pretty terrible. I'm so thankful. I had so many friends who were reaching out to me constantly. I had family who would stop by, bring food, help me with my son, who was 8 at the time. My husband, there's no words to say how amazing he was. Everybody that was around me was just amazing. I had so many people reaching out to me that I hadn't even known had been through a miscarriage before that were sharing their stories with me and just offering me words of comfort. And, it really helped. Which is why I decided to start sharing my own story about my own miscarriage, because I knew how much it helps me to hear other women's stories. So my husband and I decided, you know, we're going to take some time to heal physically, emotionally, spiritually, before we started trying again. This was in May, and we decided, you know, we're going to give it a few months. And we decided to start not preventing, but not necessarily like timing things, by the end of the summer. And, It took a few months, which I know a few months is nothing compared to the stories that I hear from some other women that I've met along this journey. But even those few months where I was getting negative tests were hurtful. They hurt. Every time I looked at that test and didn't see two pink lines, it was like I was losing a baby all over again. And then in October of 2020, I don't know if I was working from home or if it was on a weekend. I don't remember. But I decided to go ahead and take a test. It was actually a little bit early in my cycle to take a test. But I said, nah, whatever, I'll just do it. And I put the test to the side. I was walked away, and I honestly forgot about it, which sounds crazy, but I did. And about 30 minutes later, I walked into the room and remembered that the test was there. And I walked over to the counter, and sure enough, I saw two pink lines. And I freaked out. I was terrified. Because I really didn't believe it, because anybody who's been trying to get pregnant for a while knows that pregnancy tests, like, you're supposed to read the results within a 5-minute window. So I was like, these aren't even valid results. I'm not pregnant. I don't want to get excited. So I took probably like 3 more that same day, and they were all positive. And my husband, of course, same thing. He was amazing. He was so excited for me. He told me that he knew all along, and I told him he was crazy, but he said that he knew that I was pregnant, and I mean, I was, so I can't say that he was wrong because I was pregnant. But that was in October of 2020. I called my doctor the next Monday to make an appointment. And my doctor is just a godsend. He's a teddy bear. I love him so much. And they got me in for some blood work, which all came back great. And they scheduled me for an ultrasound. I think I was 6 weeks, like, on the dot. And that first ultrasound that I had to go to by myself, yet again, was terrifying. I was texting my husband the whole time. I was in the waiting room the whole time I was in the back. And I was terrified. Mind you, the night before, I went to the bathroom and I wiped and there was blood. So this is about the same timeline as my last pregnancy, and I was starting to do the exact same things. My body was doing the same things, and I came into the living room in tears, like hysterical, and my husband was like, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I'm bleeding again." And he wanted to jump up and go to the hospital, and I told him, "No, there's no point. You know, they're not going to do anything for me. They're just going to send me on my way. And if I'm losing this baby, I'm losing this baby." So I don't think I slept a wink. And then when I got up to the doctor's office the next day for the ultrasound, I mean, I was probably visibly terrified. Anybody who saw me was probably thinking, "What is wrong with this girl?" But I got to the back, and within seconds, she said, "There's a little flicker. Here's your baby's heartbeat." It was over 100 at this point. My doctor said that was great because it was higher than what my last pregnancy at that point was. And he did say that he saw another hematoma on this scan, which was the reason for the bleeding. He said he wanted me on pretty strict pelvic rest, no intercourse, no exercising, like nothing intense. He didn't want me walking upstairs or anything. So I was in and out of the doctor's office every single week, pretty much through my first trimester until that hematoma cleared up. I think it got to the point where it was about 2 inches large, which was pretty scary to look at on an ultrasound. But he reassured me, you know, it's all good. You're doing great. Baby's looking great, growing well. But for anybody who is listening, who has been through a pregnancy after loss, or, you know, has experienced a loss before, you know, like, how every little thing makes you scared. So, I mean, I'm almost 31 weeks in, and every time I go to the bathroom, I still check for blood. Every time I feel a cramp, I think, "Oh my gosh, is something wrong?" The first time I felt Braxton Hicks in my second trimester, early in my second trimester, I thought to myself, "Oh my gosh, I'm going into preterm labor. I'm going to lose this baby." Every little thing, for anybody who has been through a pregnancy after loss or is in the middle of a pregnancy after loss, you know, anything can set you off. And it's gotten better the closer I get to the end of my pregnancy. I can definitely say that. However, having a support system during my miscarriage, almost, it was like a blessing and a curse now that I'm pregnant again, because I know all the horror stories that can happen. I know about stillbirths that women find out about at full term. I know about the preterm labors. I know about, you know, all the things. So pregnancy after loss for me is really just taking every single day and reminding myself that it's going to be okay and to enjoy every day of this pregnancy, because I know the pain of losing a baby. One of the things that has been the most helpful for me, a friend of mine, who is just a godsend. If you're listening right now, Caitlin, this has literally gotten me through the past 8 months or however long I've been pregnant, the past 31 weeks. At the beginning of my pregnancy, I texted this friend daily, telling her how stressed I was. Every time I'd feel something, every time I'd see something, every time I'd think something, I would text her. And she told me this, and it has stuck with me to this day. And she said, "You are pregnant until you're not anymore. So enjoy it." And y'all, every time I get stressed or anxious or start worrying about this baby, I tell myself, "You're pregnant until you're not anymore, Shannon. You're pregnant until your doctor tells you that you're not. You're pregnant until you give birth. You're pregnant until something goes wrong. But today you are pregnant, and it's your right to enjoy this pregnancy." So I don't know if anybody else needed to hear that, but I know I need to hear it daily. So I'm going to leave this episode on that note. And I look forward to bringing other women to share their stories of pregnancy after loss to help encourage you along the way. And I just want to thank you again for tuning in and just being here with me for this journey. Thanks, y'all.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Pregnancy After Loss podcast. Don't forget to check out the show notes to connect to today's guest and find any resources shared in today's episode. To catch new episodes, subscribe to the show on whichever platform you listen to podcasts. Until next time.